Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
My name is Dustin Miller. My wife and I are the GYC directors across the street. That is our high school youth ministry. Easy Andy took a little slip in the 9:30, caught himself. It was fantastic. But we are the GYC directors, man. We are so honored to be able to do that. First of all, I want to welcome our campuses, Sepulpa and Skytook, and online. If you would, give them a hand. Let's welcome them into this service. I want to thank Pastor Bill and Sandy. Pastor Bill is speaking at another church in Montana, I believe, today. And so, obviously, we're praying for him. He's going to do a great job there. But, man, I just want to take a second to say thank you so much for his leadership, his coaching, just him as a pastor. What an incredible man of God with him. And Pastor Sandy, we have amazing, amazing leaders here that give people like myself, like AJ and Chano and Dubs and all of us that are able to share this stage that they've built for over the past 25 years. Man, I am honored and humbled to be up here and be able to share the word with you guys today. So thank you for allowing me to do this. And thank you to everyone who has a teenager in GYC, man. Like I said, we absolutely love what we do. We love being able to spend time with your teenagers and to teach them the word of God and raise them up. You know, when we first got over there, one thing that we wanted to do was we wanted to create a student leadership program for your kids. This was for our core kids whose families went to the church, a place where these students could be discipled and learn and grow and have accountability and mentorship. And then we did that. We launched it in January. It went incredibly well. We're launching a new class after camp, which is this week. Which is crazy. And so this is our first camp as directors. We're heading out Wednesday. We'll be there until service next weekend. And so that's going to be an amazing week for them, a life-changing week. We're taking 77 high schoolers to camp this year, which is absolutely amazing. Yeah, give them a hand. We'll take over 20 of our adult leaders out there to help lead that camp. And so that's going to be a really, really great time for us. One thing I want to say, I know that, you know, being in GYC, we know that we live in a crazy world right now. We live in crazy times where we see things happening in high schools right now that we never thought we'd see. We see things like school shootings. It feels like on a monthly, weekly basis. I mean, it's like these things are happening far too often. But I want you to know that the stance that we take is that this is an incredible opportunity for us because we are the hope of the world. Man, Jesus Christ and his church is the hope of the world. And that's the message that we deliver to your teenagers every single week, that this is where you find hope. This is where you find joy and peace. This is the answer to all of your problems. This is the answer to everything you're seeking in the world. We have it right here. We have the hope of Jesus Christ, man, this is what we want your students to know, and we are honored to be able to do that. So thank you for trusting us with your students. Thank you for letting us take them to camp. It's going to change their lives, and we are so excited for that. I can't tell you how excited we are. So a little bit about myself and my wife. We're from Warrenton, Missouri, hometown of Pastor Bill. I'm sure you've heard of it from him and from nowhere else. It is a tiny town in Missouri. And I mean, we both grew up there, kind of knew each other in high school a little bit. After high school, I went to a tiny high school, graduated with 8 kids in my graduating class. 8 of us, half of us went to Rhema, which is a super spiritual class. It was just my best friend, his girlfriend, and her brother. So all of us went to Rhema. Three-eighths of my senior class lived together after high school. That was cool. All 3 of us lived together when we went to Rhema. And after my 2 years at Rhema, I came down here knowing that Guts was going to be my home church. I knew of Pastor Bill from speaking at my home church when I was in Missouri, and just from him being from there, there's a reputation. And so I knew of him. I knew that I was going to come here, and I was going to be a part of this church as I went to Rhema, and I did that. Once I graduated, I studied youth ministry there. Once I graduated, I immediately jumped into the internship. It's funny, my mom always says, she's like, I don't know what that internship is, and I don't understand it. All I know is you walked into it a boy, and you walked out of it a man of God. And man, I believe that. That's what the internship did for me. I had all of this knowledge in me from Rhema, from Bible school, that I felt like I knew, I just didn't know what to do with it. And then the internship pulled that out of me and showed me what to do and showed me how to be a man of God. And so I am forever thankful for that. Right after the internship, I began to talk to my wife. I moved back home to Warrenton, Missouri. We began to date, got married, had two boys, Jericho, who is 4, Israel, who is 2, and now a little baby girl on the way, finally. And we are done. That is it. We originally always said us 4 no more. Now it's us 5 no more. Not sure how that happened, but we're done now. And we're excited to have that little girl. But then we served at a church for 5 years. We were on staff. Both of us were on staff. I was the media director. She was communications director at a church in Missouri. And then one time we came here, July of 2016, to visit for an internship alumni party. And Heather cried all the way home, knowing that we were supposed to move to Tulsa because we knew we were supposed to be back at Guts. And we got home, we prayed about it for 3 weeks, knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that is what God was calling us to do. He wanted us to be back here. We resigned from our positions at our church without telling anyone in Tulsa that we were coming. Our pastor reached out to Pastor Bill and said, hey, Dustin and Heather are moving to Tulsa. And I knew that he had reached out. And I went to Heather one day, I was praying. I said, hey, I think Pastor Bill is going to call me today. And I hadn't talked to him. I said, man, I think he's going to offer us a job at Guts. And she's like, man, that's great. And I was like, I think we're going to have to move in September. And she was like, but it's August 28th. I said, yeah, just get ready. Because here it comes. 10 minutes later, my phone rings. It's Pastor Bill. He says, hey, Dustin, I want to hire you and Heather, but I need you here in September. I said, yes, sir. So that was a Thursday. On Sunday, we put our house in the market. It sold on Monday. On Thursday, we bought a house here. And 3 weeks later, here we were. So God moves very quickly. We got here very quickly. And man, we're here for life. We love being at Guts. We know this is exactly where God has called us to be. And we're excited to be here. And I'm very excited to bring the word to you today. Today, I want to talk about one of my favorite stories in the word. And that's the story of Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the whole Bible. He has an entire book written about him after his name. And what we're going to look at today is Joshua 5. But before we get there, I want to tell you a little bit about who he is. Joshua was the right-hand man to a man named Moses. You may have heard of him, kind of one of the founding fathers of our faith. And what Joshua did is he was literally his right-hand man. He was the commander of Israel's armies. He was well-trained, he was bold, he was courageous, he was a man of God. I mean, this is like the iconic man's man, okay? And so he went with Moses that when they brought the Israelites out of Egypt, they went through the desert, and they were headed to the promised land that they knew God had given them. Joshua was with Moses the entire time. They got to the promised land. Moses sent Joshua and 11 other men in to look at the cities to see if it was something they could do, to see what they needed to do to take that promised land. And Joshua came out and he said, man, I've been in there. The walls are huge. They're thick. The people are huge. But I believe that with God, we can do this. We can conquer this city of Jericho. And 10 other spies didn't agree with Joshua. And so because of that, Moses went with the majority. They were stuck in the desert for 40 years. And finally, that entire generation had died off. And Joshua was pruned up to be the leader to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And so we're picking up right there in Joshua 5. And it says this, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him. I love that. And said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no. In another version, it says, neither. I'm not for either of you, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your feet, for the place you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. I want you to know this city that Joshua was headed towards, he was not going to let anything stop him from going to that city. This is a city that he had seen before. This is a city that he knew had kept his people in the desert for 40 years. Those walls, that thing in front of him, he said, man, I am going to conquer this thing. I watched my hero die in the desert because of this wall that's in front of me right now. But I am going to be the one to lead my people through it. I am going to be the one to conquer this wall, to conquer this city. And nothing is going to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. He sees a man with a sword drawn. And what does he do? He doesn't back down. He steps right up to the man face to face. And he says, who are you for? Are you for me or are you for them? Because if you're for them, you're going to die right here. And the man says, no, I'm not for either. I'm the commander of the Lord's armies. And at that, Joshua fell on his face. I love that. I love that Joshua went to him and was fearless. But then I love that as soon as he realized this was a man of God, this was the commander of the Lord's armies, he got down on his face. And I want you to know that as a commanding leader in the army, as a well-trained military man, Joshua was a fighter. Joshua knew that getting on his face was the most powerless position that he could be in. My man Thomas Longacre goes to the Sepulpa campus. He also is a fighter. Don't YouTube him. It's terrifying. He owns a gym called Thunder Kick. And he will tell you, if you ask Thomas, what's your most comfortable, where are you most comfortable fighting? I guarantee he would tell you either on my feet or on my back. Fighters don't mind being on the ground. They just want to be on their back. Because if they're on their face, the fight is over. Joshua knew that. Joshua knew that no matter what happens here, this man has his sword drawn, but I'm going to put my life in the hands of God. I'm going to trust him and believe that he's going to lead me, believe that he's going to know what's best for me. And I'm going to lay down right here in front of him. And he put his face to the ground and said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I feel like I'm headed the right way. I feel like I'm doing the right thing. I see this wall. I'm about to take it down. I know that my destiny lies behind that wall. But I want you to know that because Joshua was able to surrender to God, God then in chapter 6 began to reveal to him exactly how to take down that wall. Joshua never had to give it another thought. He had spent 40 years planning, how am I going to get through that wall? Now, you got to understand, Jericho's walls were 20 feet high and 25 feet thick. This is not a small fence that Joshua was trying to jump over. I'm sure Joshua had spent the last 40 years imagining, okay, I'm the one. I'm the guy. I'm going to lead this nation in there. God has given me a promise. He's given me something to do. Now, how am I going to do it? How am I going to break down that wall? How am I going to break down this thing that's been holding me back, this thing that kept Moses in the desert, this thing that I've been thinking about for 40 years? I'm sure he imagined himself breaking down the wall, crawling over the wall, and God said, no, listen, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take your people. I want you to put the priests out front. I want them to carry the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to put God first. And for 6 days, you're going to walk around this city once a day and not say a word. On the seventh day, I want you to walk around seven times. I want you to stand up with your people, and all I want you to do is scream. Let your priests blow their horns, scream and worship God, and watch what I do, because those walls are going to fall. He went on, he said, I have already given you Jericho, that the people behind that wall are already yours. How much faith do you think Joshua had going into a city that he knew was already his? A city that he knew the people in there were already standing there with their tails tucked between their legs, terrified of the name of Joshua, because they knew that he had the power of God resting on him, because they knew that he was surrendered to the King of Kings, and they knew, man, there was a power in him that we don't know anything about, and we are terrified. All Joshua had to do was take a step of faith that day, and those walls were going to come crumbling down. He didn't have to figure out how to win that war. He didn't have to figure out how to break down those walls. All he had to do was walk around and scream. That's easy. A child can walk around and scream. I have two boys. They do it every single day. All he had to do was walk around and scream and worship God and watch that thing fall. God began to teach him how it was going to happen. John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. God wants to show you the way out. God wants to teach you. He wants to show you, listen, you may have a plan. You may have this grand idea of how you're going to face this thing that's in front of you, but I've got a plan. Let me direct your steps. Make plans. Joshua had a plan to break down that wall, but God directed his steps and said, listen, this is how you're going to do it, and it's going to be so much easier than you ever imagined. You are going to overcome this thing that's in front of you, and it's going to be so much easier than you ever thought it could be. What is standing in front of you right now that you say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to take a step of faith right now and say, I believe that you can break down this wall. This is not something I need to waste my time on. Are you in a fight right now that you have no business fighting? I told you I went to a tiny high school. My mom was the assistant administrator. which kind of allowed me to get away with a lot until she found out, and then I just got, you know, in trouble at school and at home, so it didn't really work in my favor. But in this tiny high school, I played basketball. We had a very good basketball team. We won state my junior year, and I know what you're thinking. I look mildly athletic. I could probably be on a state championship basketball team. I want you to know, in high school, I was 2 inches shorter, 40 pounds heavier, and about 30% body fat. So not quite the most athletic guy in high school, but I rode the coattails of my best friend. He was super good at basketball. We won a state championship. It was awesome. And man, we finished our junior year and said, we got 1 year left. Let's take this show on the road. We're going to start an AAU team, and we're going to dominate all summer. So we did. We started an AAU team. Said, man, we're going to kill it. We jumped into a tournament in Columbia, Missouri, and we went from playing eighth graders in the state championship that went to a tiny high school like we did and crushing them to playing a starting five, all going D1 in the first game of our AAU tournament. We lost 113-35. It was awesome. I was the biggest guy on the team, so of course they said, well, you're the biggest guy on the team. I was not the tallest, just the biggest. And they were like, well, you're the biggest guy on the team, so you got to guard the biggest guy on their team, who just so happened to be a guy, you can look him up. His name was Adam. I actually have it here. Anyways, 6'8", 240 pounds, went to SLU. Unfortunate, Adam Nolmeyer, that was his name. And I know for a fact I've got to be hanging in a poster somewhere in his house because he literally backed me down and dunked on my head every single play. Everyone on the team dunked, everyone. They're like calling people off the bench, like, hey, you want to dunk? Yeah, yeah, come on, come on. Yeah, you can dunk too. We'll just throw you a hoop. You can dunk on the fat kid under the basket. Yeah, yeah, it's fine. It's like awesome. It was like Space Jam. Like they're the Monstars. I'm like the heavy guy on the bench with the sweatband sweating really bad that gets crushed, you know? Like that was me. Like it was awful. I knew in that moment that I was in a fight that I had no business fighting. I was built to beat eighth graders in the Christian School State Championship. I was not built to beat the Monstars in the AAU tournament in Columbia, okay? I did not play Division I basketball. I barely played rec league basketball after that. I never wanted to show my face on a basketball court again. But I feel like there are so many times where we fight battles that we have no business fighting. God is saying, man, I've cut a path for you. I've got something I need you to do. I've got somewhere I need you to go. And that is not a part. That is not something you have to do. That is not a battle that you have to fight. Joshua didn't have to figure out how to break down those walls. He thought about it for 40 years. And God said, listen, I don't want you to think about this thing anymore. All I want you to do is trust me, walk around, worship my name, and watch those walls fall down in front of you. And then know that on the other side of that wall is a defeated foe. They're already defeated. They are scared of you. Man, the enemy is terrified of what you're going to do for God. The enemy is terrified of the power that lives in us. And what God did for Joshua, he'll do for us. Man, we wake up every single morning. We need to know that the enemy is terrified, that we are fighting against a defeated foe. Our enemy is already defeated. He is already under our feet. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Being fearless and taking a step of faith doesn't always make sense naturally because none of it's natural. We look at the things of God, it's like, hey, here's what I need you to do. I need you to give 10% of your money, live on 90%, and you're going to do a lot better than if you were living on 100%. That doesn't make sense because the tithe isn't natural. Listen, I don't want you to fight those walls. I don't want you to knock them down. I want you to walk around and scream. That doesn't make sense. Sometimes moving in faith doesn't make natural sense. But we have to trust God. Faith isn't about making sense. Faith is about trusting God and taking a step. Man, we have to trust God with our lives and know that if we surrender to him, nothing shall by any means harm us. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That wall in front of you is nothing in comparison to the power of God. When you take a step of faith, walls fall down. And then what? Then you bind the enemy and you rob his house. That's what Joshua did. Man, Joshua watched those walls fall, and then he went in and he conquered that city and he made waste of everything. He took everything that was beautiful and he stored it up for God, stored it in the temple and said, man, I am going to worship God with the plunder from what he did for me. And it was all because he took a step of faith. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Joshua still had to fight. Once those walls fell, he still had to be faithful. He still had to go in there. He still had to take that city. The difference is he had struck fear into the hearts of the people of Jericho. The difference is he knew that he had already won. He knew that on the other side of that wall was a victory waiting for him. We have to be able to walk with that kind of confidence. You follow Jesus. You have God on your side. How did he know that he was going to win? Because he had God on his side, and so do you. We can walk with the same confidence that Joshua had, knowing, listen, everything I face is going to bow its knee to me because I bow my knee to God. I know that if I surrender to God, every single thing that I face in my life is going to fall because I know that God has already won the victory for me. We are fighting a battle that has already been won, but so many times we tend to fix our eyes on where the problems come from and not on where our help comes from. Joshua was fixated on that wall. He was fixated on that thing that was keeping him from the call of God on his life. But as soon as God intervened, he bowed down. He said, no, I'm going to put my eyes on God, knowing that that thing's going to fall, knowing that I don't ever have to worry about that again. I don't even have to put thought towards it. All I have to do is trust God and watch this thing crumble. That's exactly what he did because he was focused on where his help came from, not on where his problem came from. Jesus said, "I've overcome the world." He didn't say, "I've overcome your problems." He didn't say, "I overcame the wall." He said, "I've overcome the world." God has overcome the source of your problem. God has overcome the source of that thing that you feel like is holding you back. And because of that, we overcome. Because of that, we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Man, this is why we have to be in the Word every single day. This is why we have to be able to hear God's voice and not follow another, because when we hear the voice of God, God's not here to complicate things for you. God's here to simplify your life. God's here to simplify things for you. He didn't complicate anything for Joshua. You think walking around and screaming was harder than trying to break down a 20-foot wall? God was making it easy for him. He said, no, I've got a plan for you. I've got something I need you to do, and it all starts with surrendering to me. That's where this life starts for us. Because Joshua bowed down to that commander. Every other commander that he ever faced bowed down to him. Every commander he ever confronted had to bow to him. You serve a God that wants to see you overcome every obstacle that would ever dare come against you. I'm going to say that again. We serve a God that wants to see us overcome every single thing that tries to face us in our life. He wants to see us have victory over every single thing that would ever try to step to us. Man, Joshua was an overcomer, and so are we. Why did Joshua do what he did? Why was he so adamant about following the voice of God and about surrendering to him? It wasn't just because of his reverence for God, even though that was a big deal. He obviously had an incredible reverence for God, and he would have done it no matter what, but he knew that people depended on him. My sons depend on me to be a man of God. My sons watch me every day to know how to speak, how to walk, how to act, how to treat people, how to treat my wife. My sons are going to treat their wives like I treat my wife. My sons are going to treat other people like I treat other people. My sons are going to serve God like I serve God. People were watching Joshua saying, "What is he going to do?" They had watched Moses fail. And Joshua said, "I'm not going to do that. I love him, but I'm not going to make the same mistakes that he made. I respect him, but I'm not going to make those same mistakes. I am going to follow God because I know people depend on me." Man, people depend on you fulfilling the call of God on your life. People depend on us fulfilling that call of God and saying, "No, I'm going to surrender right now so that everything else we ever face, we can stand up and say, look what God did. Look how faithful God is." You guys want to know how the story of Joshua ended? In Joshua 12, I love this. Joshua 12, 7 through 24, there's a list of kings. And the list is even longer than this. It starts with the king of Jericho. That first battle where Joshua bowed his knee and said, "I'm going to surrender to God and I'm going to watch him bring the victory." And after Jericho, it went on to another king and another king and another king and another king. I love it in the New King James. After every king, it says one. The king of you know, Tapa, one. Every king, one. Every king, one. Joshua went on to defeat 31 kings because he was able to bow to the King of Kings. Every other king he ever faced bowed to him. 31 kings had to bow their knee to Joshua because he was surrendered to God. That one decision to follow God set him up for a lifetime of victory. Do you want to be set up for a lifetime of victory today? All you have to do is surrender to God. You get past that first wall. You get past that one thing that you felt like was holding you back, the thing you focused on for years, the thing you said, that's what's stopping me. That thing is easy for God. That thing just takes a step from you. That's it. Man, we take a step, walls fall down. We take a step, we have victory today. We take a step, we have victory tomorrow and the next day and the next day and every day after that. And then we begin to look at our lives and say, wait a minute, I've had 31 things fall on my side too. Wait a minute, I got through that. I can get through anything. I got through the walls of Jericho. He took out the most fortified city in the world on the first day. Everything else after that was easy. This stuff is easy for God. He sets you up for victory and it's easy. Man, God wants to do that in your life today. He wants to knock down that wall that you feel like has been holding you back, whatever that is. And he wants to see you have victory every single day in your life. If he'll do it for Joshua, he'll do it for you. If he'll do it for you, he'll do it for me. God is no respecter of persons, and he wants to see us have victory every single day in our lives. Is that good? Man, if we want to win every day, if you want to see that wall in front of you be completely obliterated, all it takes is calling on the name of Jesus. He had an idea in his head of how he was going to take down that wall. And God said, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up above the wall. I want you to get your people and I want you to look down. All I need you to do is walk around and shout a praise to God. All I want you to do is praise my name, and as you do that, you're going to stand with your people that have been held in the desert for 40 years, that has lost an entire generation. They all buried their fathers in the desert, but these men and women of God are going to stand and watch you because you surrendered to God. They are going to watch what I do. They're going to watch those walls fall, and then they're going to storm in, and they're going to take everything in that city. Do you want to have victory in your life where you can stand up with your children and your grandchildren and say, look what God did? Because we trusted God. Look what God did for our family. Look what God did for our life. That's what God wants to do for you today. That's what God wants to do for me and for my wife. If we'll surrender to him, he wants to say, man, I'm going to bring victory in your life every single day with this thing that's in front of you and with everything you'll ever face. That's the God that we serve. Is that good? Man, God loves you. He has a purpose for you on this earth. He's got something that he needs you to do. All you have to do today is surrender to him. And he will set you up for the greatest victory you've ever seen in your life. Joshua didn't even have to work for it. He didn't have to complete his plans. He just had to follow the plan of God. And that's what God wants for us. If you would, every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an opportunity today to make your life right with God. If you say, man, I've made that decision. I feel like I've followed God in the past, but I'm just not feeling the victory right now. If you want to make your life right with God today, or if you've never made that decision, it's like, man, I've never made the decision to follow Jesus, but I want to do that. I want to see that victory in my life. Or if you see something in front of you and you're like, man, this is the wall I've been staring at for years, and I don't know how I'm going to overtake it, but I know that if I can trust God today, he'll do it for me. He'll show me what steps to take. He'll show me exactly what to do so that I can watch that wall crumble and so that I can have victory in my life. If that's you today, all I want you to do is slip up your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Slip up your hand and say, I want that today. I want that victory in my life. I want to serve God now and every single day after that. Thank you. And this is worth waiting for. God wants to do something amazing in your life today. If you were to repeat this after me, say, Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus. I follow you today, God. I take that step of faith, and I believe that I will see that wall fall down. I believe that I will have victory every single day. in Jesus' name. Father God, thank you for this time. God, thank you for this word that you brought us today. Father God, I thank you that it takes root in our hearts, Lord. God, I thank you that we were able to apply it to our lives and to live this out every single day, and that we have victory today and every day after that, God. That no matter what we face, we can go in with confidence, knowing that you have our backs, knowing that you will fight for us and fight with us, Father God. And know, Lord God, that we will have victory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.